Attitude Broadcasting presents BSS Carolina with your host, Rocky JPP. Not only are you a giant, but you are a dummy giant.
Giant dummy.
You'll be in the same unemployment line as Steve Clifford. New job. Release Roberts. Linsanity's a hornet. I think I was hockey experts. Easy.
You know who the next Jordan is?
LeBron.
It's not his fault.
It's just because I like playing devil's advocate.
Never again.
Hall of Famer.
Tannehill.
Game over.
Don't worry. I'll wait.
We've all said it. None of us are hockey experts. I guess we are. We're beating hockey experts.
And big shots.
PJ Harrison. Rudy Gobert.
JPP.
What a ding-a-ling.
Linsanity. I said better. I didn't say good.
Roy Hibbert.
What a ding-a-ling. If Duncan gets the 7 rings, not his fault. With Jordan, you got plenty of money. Get you a driver.
Bump that. Side pieces.
Ronda Rousey.
You can listen to the show on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. And follow us on Twitter at BSS Carolinas. Welcome to BSS Carolinas. Of course, I am Rocky. Joining me once again today is Big Shot, BBB, beautiful Big Shot.
What it do?
Welcome everybody here to the show. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at BSS Carolinas. Watch us on Periscope every Thursday at 10 a.m. Chat with us during the show. Any questions you got, you can even call us and leave a message, and we'll play it for next week's show, answer your questions, anything like that.
Yeah, you can call us 919-943-2044. We will get your comments on the air, and we will definitely respond to them.
And we are sponsored by Attitude Broadcasting.
Get your attitude back in your broadcasting with the Attitude Broadcasting Company. The new ABC. The Attitude Era, baby.
Absolutely. You know, before we get into today's show, we want to talk a lot of finals, NBA draft, stuff like that. First thing I want to do, though, is remember Len Bias. 30 years ago this week, Len Bias passed away.
Man.
30 years.
I never got to see him play. From what I heard, he was amazing at the University of Maryland. And the Boston Celtics thought they had a Hall of Famer. He probably could have been a Hall of Famer.
With Bird, him, Bird, Bias, Mikhail, and Parrish, they probably would have won at least another one or two championships.
They maybe got one. By the time Bias was coming in, though, you know, Bird was on his last legs. His back was really bad at that point. We're getting really bad. And the Boston had been in so many finals and played so many games and wars. You know, they were at the end of their line anyway.
But to me, it would have been kind of like now with the Spurs adding those young influence of talent, mm-hmm, with Kawhi Leonard and, you know, Aldridge. Bias is one of the top five basketball players I've ever seen play, mm-hmm, in my life. I mean, you know, you talk about LeBron James – and all the Len Bias, dude. I'm telling you. And of course, it was against college guys. And you don't know how it will be in the NBA. But that Len Bias had it. I mean, just unreal how this guy was.
Whatever it is, he had, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, I think if he stuck around, I think he would have gave Jordan fits. I don't know if Jordan would have won as many championships as he would have. Maybe. Who knows? It's a what-if scenario, but I think he would have been one of the greatest basketball players ever to live because he did a lot of LeBron stuff before LeBron. So, because he's a big guy that could drill, he was that guy.
Super athlete.
Yeah.
Cleaned up the glass. Yeah, if you watch his tapes in Maryland, you were like, man, this Len Bias is going to be something else.
But I got, you know, I just want to remember him. You know, it's been 30 years already. So
just another reminder, kids, don't do drugs.
Absolutely. You know, a guy that was lost way, way, way too soon. Going on from one sad note to the good news of the week, I guess, especially if you're Jeffrey or any other Cavs bandwagon fan of the week.
Which there are a ton of them out there right now.
The Cavs won the NBA championship. Finally, they won game 7, 93-89. I'm going to tell you, I watched the second half. I didn't watch the first because, you know, it was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pay-per-view. You know, I was not at home, so I didn't have a choice of channels. but I'm going to say I watched the second half. The Warriors need an inside guy. They need somebody that can score.
Mm-hmm. Just the
and a rim protector. They need somebody that can at least give them 10 points a game, maybe. Or if they need a street stopper, somebody that can pass the ball down to in the low post.
And not like an Andrew. Well, Andrew Bogut would have been phenomenal at home on his home floor. We know how much better he plays at home than he does on the road. He was a huge loss for the Warriors, but I ain't going to say because he was there, that was the reason the Warriors lost. The Warriors just could not make shots that they were making all year. The MVP was missing shots that he had been knocking down for the past two seasons.
With the company I was with, you know, perfect example, they were like, they're taking bad shots. Hey, I hate to tell you this. They've been taking these shots all year long.
All year.
They're not bad shots now.
That's what they said during the telecast. It's like the fans at home might be like, oh, that's a bad shot. Them bad shots weren't bad shots when they were making them.
Right. They've been making them all year. Now they're missing them. But you need – they desperately need a person that can put up some points down low. That just get to the free throw line to get a free throw to stop the streak. Because 89 points? 89. And they didn't score the last 5 minutes?
The team that averaged 114 points a game during the regular season. 89.
The last three games they didn't score over 100.
At all. And twice on their home floor, they got decimated on their home floor. Now, game 5, they scored 61 first half points. I don't know what happened to them in the second half of game 5. Kyrie and LeBron, I guess, happened to them because Kyrie and LeBron were awesome in game 5.
Well, I have to say, I think they were more physical. Listen.
The grabbing, the holding, the bumping off the screens, if you want to call it fair or foul, the refs didn't call it foul, and the Cavaliers played it exactly right. You know there's going to be more physicality in the playoffs. We're not just going to call every little ticky-tack thing.
And I know they were down some players. They did this last year in the first three games when they were up 2-1. Then they changed the game plan. I don't know what happened.
Dellavedova went to the hospital. He was gassed. LeBron was gassed. They had nothing. They really had nothing else. You saw this year, Dellavedova didn't play. Unless it was garbage time. Which I said before when the final started, I would not play Dellavedova.
Nope.
Mozgov.
Played Mo Williams before him.
Right? Mozgov did not play. He was huge in the finals last year. So having different pieces, being able to adjust your lineup to adapt to what Golden State does was huge. Absolutely huge. And their best lineup was when LeBron was at the four.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to give credit. A lot of the – listen, Kyrie played great.
Absolutely.
To me, he played great after game 5, 6, and 7. He played great. He played good games 1 through 4. He scored a lot of points, but it was bad, efficient shooting.
Now, game 3,
he
was
shoot
huge.
Very efficient in those first
four
games.
Well, game 4, he was like 12 for 24.
Okay.
He was fine in game 4.
But 1 through 3 –
yeah, he was.
He shot them out of the building. Even though he scored 30 one game and 28 in games, something changed. It looked like in game 4 to game 7 where he's like, all right, I got to stop taking bad shots. I need to take good shots. I need to score. My team needs me. He stepped up huge.
I think it was due to game 3 when he got 30 in game 3. His confidence got up. I could score on these guys anytime I want to. They can't stay in front of me. And once he figured that out, he was unstoppable. He was unreal. Absolutely unreal. Duke University. They teach more than just tripping and grabbing and whatever else they do at Duke.
Except Grayson Allen, the dirtiest player in the game of any game ever. Kick him out. Him and Draymond Green should be on the same team.
Why?
Because both of them like hit people into the balls.
Gracie don't hit people in the nuts. He just trips folks.
He just trips folks. Oh, yeah.
He's a folk tripper.
But, you know, going back to the game, going back to the series, LeBron played great last year in the finals. He played great this year in the finals. My only concern last year was he stopped low posting and being aggressive. He wasn't aggressive after game three. I know he was tired. I understand he was spent, but he wasn't as aggressive. And I understand the city is Cleveland's on your shoulders trying to win. This year, he played aggressive the whole series. He didn't stop.
Game four, right?
He kind of started taking jump shots, didn't go to the basket and be aggressive. This year, he was aggressive the whole series. His defense, his rebounding, he didn't have to score 40 points a game. He did game six, him and Kyrie. But game seven, the difference was really Kyrie stepped up late and was just on fire.
Kevin Love's aggression in game seven, even though he didn't shoot that great, his 14 rebounds were huge. He had like 4 or 5 offensive rebounds.
Yeah. And if you look, to me, the biggest key of this series was Tristan Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
His defense and his energy that he brought on defense and offense.
And his ability to switch out on the guards.
That's what I was going to say. The way he defended Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, when they did switch outs, that was huge.
And, I mean, you could see Steph and Klay were rushing shots. They were like, I got a little opening. I got to get it up. And they were just rushing them. And they just weren't falling for them.
So, you know.
And the Draymond suspension really swung the momentum, because when Cleveland came back and got game five, you felt like they were going to more than likely get game six. So when it came down to game seven, you still felt like the Warriors were going to win, because they had been one of the best home teams all year, 39-2 in the regular season, only one home loss in the playoffs. They lost as many home games in the finals as they did all regular season.
In the playoffs, they lost 9 games.
9 games. They only lost 9 games all regular season.
Yeah.
And in the last 14 games, they were 7-7.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane.
And I want to dive into that. First and foremost, I want to give credit to Cleveland Cavs. All right? You won the series. I thought the Warriors were winning 7.
Me too.
Me and you both. And they destructed, you know. But I want to give credit to Cleveland. I want to give congrats to City of Cleveland. You know, you finally win a championship. It's great. Don't get too excited, all right? It's one championship right now, so don't say the greatest city.
I was watching the parade yesterday. LeBron already had it in focus. His final words to the city when he was closing was, let's get ready for next year. Already moving on. LeBron knows this is great. We can celebrate this right now, but we got next season. Next season is right upon us.
And I don't think there's a lot you have to do to this team. I mean, you just won a title. I know you talk about trading Kevin Love and different things.
That would be ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous.
I think because
he's a piece. He's not one of the three big pieces like they were paying him to do. So if you can get. I mean, wait a minute, hold on. Tristan Thompson played the 5, right? LeBron played the 4. Where did Kevin Love play most of the time? On the bench.
Well, the first three rounds, Kevin Love was huge. It was just a bad matchup. If they would have been playing like San Antonio or Oklahoma City, where they got more bigs, Kevin Love would have been definitely more effective.
My point is, if you can get another piece that fits better than Kevin Love, then do it. I mean, if you got somebody that can play a 3 – that I mean, is a good, you know.
Who?
I don't,
who?
Kevin Durant.
This team just won a championship. Who do you bring in?
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. Does Kevin Durant want to be in LeBron James' shadow?
He won't. It'll be the 3 of them.
Are they really going to go? Well,
I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying that's an option.
They don't have the cap room.
If you got rid of Kevin Love's contract.
Oklahoma City ain't going to trade Kevin Durant for Kevin Love.
Kevin Durant's a free agent.
That's why he can go and get max dollars from somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think Durant will go play with LeBron. I'm just saying, there's if you find a good piece to get rid of Kevin Love, go ahead and do it. If you find something that will fit better in that place.
Now, if you're sitting and you're Boston, hypothetical situation, you're Boston, you got picks, you got young pieces, and you want an all-star post player There you go. We want Kevin Love. We'll give you the number 3 pick. We'll trade you Avery Bradley's contract, and we'll trade you who you want, R.J. Hunter, a shooter off the bench they just drafted last year, or do you want Jared Sullinger?
Who's a free agent.
Who's a free agent. Another big back. I think that could work, but you know those pieces don't give you what Kevin Love gives you, rebounding, the 3-point shooting, the post scoring.
No, and I get that, but if you were to play him as a bench player, which it looks like they might do more next year instead of.
No, well, you know, Kevin Love, game one, 17, 13 bounds, looked really good. They just were overwhelmed by Golden State in game one.
Oh, yeah.
Game two, he caught an elbow to the back of the head. He had been dealing with a concussion for the entire series.
No, and I get that. I'm just saying, you know, if you get something that's better, you should do it. I'm not saying they should get rid of him, but you just won an NBA championship.
And I don't know how much better is out there. Now, I know, right. You know, Mo Williams is going to go away. He's going to retire. Richard Jefferson said he's going to come back one more year, so you'll have him. I don't know what you're going to do with Channing Frye. If he's under contract, you're probably definitely going to keep him around.
You'll keep him.
Dellavedova, he's a free agent. He probably wants more money than what he's giving you, and you're probably just going to let him see you. Because you got that McRae kid who can play. And you probably just need to address the guards because we don't know what you're going to do with J.R. Smith if J.R. Smith wants to leave for more money. I mean, he's playing his best basketball in Cleveland.
I don't think he'll leave.
I don't know why you want to leave LeBron James. Being in the finals every year and the media attention and what it does for your brand to play with LeBron James, you're not going to do by yourself somewhere else.
He's going to be like James Jones. Wherever LeBron goes, that's where he's going to be. Yeah.
That's what James Jones said. He said, I'm just – wherever LeBron was going, I'm going.
Listen, there's people with free agents this summer that you can sign to bring in. I mean, listen, probably not Mike Conley, probably too much. But, you know, if you can get Mike Conley
– I think Mike Conley stays in Memphis, though, to be honest with you.
I don't think he does. Chandler Parsons –
Chandler Parsons probably wants a big contract. I think I can see him fitting out in Golden State.
You got your boy in Miami. Hey, Dwayne. Hey, I just won a championship. You want to come play?
You want to come? But D-Wade, he's on his last legs. He wants 20-plus million a season from Miami. And Miami's going to have to give it to him again this year. Even with signing Whiteside, they're going to have to dip into that luxury tax.
No, that's very true. There's some free agents you can try to go after that aren't big names to bolster your roster to make them a little bit.
Exactly.
This NBA offseason is horrible with free agents.
I mean there's some
superstars.
You got
the top three, but then it's like who?
I mean, you could go get like a Nick Young. He's an unrestricted free agent if you want somebody that can score off the bench, a longer guard. LeBron seems to be able to get the best out of anybody. If you can't act right, you know, the GM, Coach LeBron, will get you cut immediately. So you know what you're getting when you go to Cleveland. But a lot of players aren't wired like that. A lot of players aren't worried about championships. They just want to get paid.
They're worried about their brand.
They want to get paid.
But, yeah, and we'll talk about that. We got some NBA free agents I want to talk about. But talking about the Warriors. You know, Harrison Barnes, a free agent. Listen, I hear all the talk about Kevin Durant. I don't see it. I don't like it. I don't like the fit. Because you know what he is? He's another jump shooter. He doesn't – he has no low post game whatsoever. You know, he can rebound, yeah. But how many times you see him low post somebody to the basket? It's usually a jump shot. You add him, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson – Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes, if you bring him back, they're all jump shooters. Who's your low post scorer?
We don't know. They're not a low post team.
You need what I call a streak stopper. If like somebody a team goes on a streak, you can throw it down to the low post and have somebody score an easy basket to stop the streak.
Like we were talking pre-show, I would love to see them try to go get Pau Gasol on a 1-year deal. Throw Gasol down there in the mix. With your big men, let Festus Ezeli go wherever Festus Ezeli wants to go. Really? Let Anderson Varejao hit the bricks Really, you don't need those guys. Get in somebody who's a competent low post scorer, who can rebound, who can defend, and only needs maybe 20, 25 minutes a night.
I've got a name for you, but the problem with him is his attitude. And I don't know if his work ethic will be there in Golden State.
Don't say Dwight Howard.
Nope, Hassan Whiteside. The guy is a low post scorer. He's got some moves. He's not like Al Jefferson, that as we saw in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But he can score low post. He's a really good defender. He's a good rebounder. The only problem with him is his work ethic. Will he work the way Steph Curry and the rest of them work? Draymond Green, can he work with Draymond Green?
And how much are the Warriors really ready to go over the salary cap? Because they got to understand Steph Curry is a free agent next season. And the salary cap goes up again a little bit next season. So you're going to have to pay Steph $28 to $30 million per season.
Right.
Because who else deserves money like that besides him?
But you need to address the inside. Because Maurice Spates, you see Mo Spates disappeared in the playoffs.
He wasn't even getting minutes on the road.
They stopped getting minutes.
Yeah, they definitely need some kind of low post presence.
There was a shooting in Germany. No, I did not mention that.
Was there
God bless them. I'll check out. Go ahead. You were talking about that.
They definitely need a low post presence. They need something. They needed a healthy Andrew Bogut. They need one more piece, if you feel like, for them to be all right. But you got to figure out Iguodala. I think Iguodala needs some money. Sean Livingston's contract is up pretty soon. When did Livingston sign? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So he'll be an unrestricted free agent after this season. They got a lot of issues, a lot of questions. I mean, if you can get Durant for 1 year, win a title, and then all y'all go y'all separate ways again next season, hey, do that. I mean, you got to – if you're Golden State, your window is now. You can't say, Steph's only 28. He's only going to be 29. Klay's only 26, 27. Your window is now while your team is getting there, because there's no guarantee that you're going to continue to get there year after year after year. It's just too hard to do. It's really hard to do. And everybody isn't LeBron James.
So, yeah, there was a mass shooting in Germany that leaves 25 injured. So let's pray for those people over in Germany. Thank you for pointing that out.
We appreciate it.
But, yeah, that's much prayers out to those families, and hopefully everything works out. But going back to sports.
It's hard to talk sports when you hear stuff like that, man.
Yeah, that's it is. No, it's hard to go back to Dwight Howard and think about what's really important when you're just learned of a shooting in another country or anywhere. But we'll try to. Going back to the Warriors, you were saying no Dwight Howard.
No.
Yeah, I don't. But I feel like the Warriors need – I mean, because, look, Mo Spates is gone. You'll probably try Varejao, like you said. Bogut, we don't know. They'll try to restructure this contract probably or get rid of him, one to two. They need something on the inside. They got to have something.
Dirk Nowitzki has just opted as a free agent. He's not a low post presence, but he's 7 feet. And you can't teach that.
Marvin Williams is unrestricted free agent. There you go. Please sign him. So he don't come back. Charlotte.
He's a rebounder, though.
No, he's not bad. Courtney Lee, of course, is a free agent. I could see Cleveland making a play for Courtney Lee.
Me too.
And have him be a backup. Derek Williams, not really. I mean, there's some guys out here that you can add, but they need.
Aaron Aflalo is out, but he's a guard.
Kevin Servifan is a free agent. Bismack is a free agent. There's some guy. Barbosa is an unrestricted free agent this summer. And I mean, you don't have to redo this team a lot.
They're going to lose some pieces. They're not going to be the same team they were when they started this season. Nope. They're definitely not. And they expect them to win 73 games again. It's going to be ludicrous. They should still win their fair share of games. They still got Steph Curry. Unless, like, Steph Curry is going to have what Rock has been saying. He's going to have a Steve Nash little run where he's hot for, like, 2 or 3 years and then cools back down.
Where he's the MVP, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if his body can hold it. I mean, if you look at the punishment he took in the finals. Right?
And look at all the basketball he's played in the last two-plus years. Starting with the World Basketball Championships, he played all that summer, played for the U.S. then, played straight through the season, MVP season, 67 wins, won the finals, came back this year, played another full season, all the way to Game 7 of the finals again. He's played a lot of basketball over the past 3 years.
But if you look, he's actually – the minutes per game, though, it's only 34 minutes a game, which is low, very low. It's the – you know.
It's one of the lowest in the league, no question. But the amount of games, you playing 100-plus games every year, it starts catching up with you, especially a guy that isn't been consistently healthy for the first part of his career.
Now that we gave – the Warriors, you know, the Cavs credit for winning. The Warriors, man, I'm going to tell you, Andre, I think part of going after the 73 wins hurting him. I mean, Andre shouldn't have been playing that much because look at his back. I mean, I don't know how many minutes per game he played, but he played too many.
He played 30 minutes in Game 6, and the man could barely walk up and down the floor.
Right.
And you saw it in Game 7. When he had that breakaway, LeBron ended up getting a block on. Iguodala, if he was right, would have went up to dunk the ball. He wouldn't have tried to lay the ball up. No question. And J.R. Smith made a hell of a play to make him bring it back down and try to go back up. But Iguodala, if he was right, would have took one step, ride the dots, and would have went up and tried to throw it down with all he had with the right hand. And there would have been no way LeBron would have blocked that.
He needs to get right for this team because if not, they need to address that too.
I think Iguodala will be fine for next season. They, like you said, they need a low post presence. They got to have it. Was it a choke job? Was it the biggest choke job?
Well, that's why I was going to ask you. Which was the bigger choke job? Warriors up 3-1 or Seahawks at the 1 yard line of Super Bowl 49? I know what you're going to say.
1 yard line when you got beast mode. It's second down. Not even the 1 yard. The half yard line. In the Super Bowl, beast mode is up to 150 yards rushing. They can't stop him. You don't give him the football.
Listen,
that's idiotic. That's ludicrous. This happened to a very good Warriors team that just ran into a once-in-a-generation player. And like we talked about last season when we thought the Cavs could win it, when you have the best player, one of the best players of all time on your team, you should win. You should win, and that's what happened with the Cavs this year.
And don't give me the 3-4 because I can honestly give LeBron one of those four losses. No, guess what? All four of them go with his record.
All four of them go.
I mean, it's not an asterisk beside three of the other ones.
Right, even though he was not the best team.
No.
We know in 07 he wasn't the best team. We know last year what the Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving thing.
We have seen teams not win the title that weren't the best teams, right? So we can't argue the fact, well, he wasn't the best team. The best team don't always win. It's ever who gets right at the right time in the postseason usually wins. I mean, you know, look at the Warriors. They just won 73 games, the most in history of NBA. They lost nine games in the playoffs.
First team in NBA history to lose a 3-1 lead in the finals. Also the first team to come back from 3-1 in one series and then lose.
So I have to say the bigger one is the Warriors. I'm sorry. You're up 3-1. You were at home. You scored 61 points in the first half of game 5 to try to close it out. I don't know what happened in the second half because you come out and you laid up an egg. And then that was over.
And then game 6, LeBron James just – he had a stretch where he scored 18 consecutive points for the Cavaliers.
Him and Kyrie just was on another level. And you saw Steph Curry one game of 7 games.
Game 4.
Game 4, he scored 30. Every other game, you didn't see him.
Game 7, he started pretty good. He was hitting threes. They made 5 threes in the first quarter, but yet the score was really close. And they made 10 threes in the first half, but they were only up 7. They didn't get that 16-0, 18-0, 3-minute spurt, which they got all season, that really put teams away. Because they got up 12, 18, 16 points on you. It's just hard to make up that kind of deficit on the Warriors because they score so well. So lots of credit to Cleveland. J.R. Smith in that third quarter of Game 7, when he had those 8 straight points that got Cleveland tied. And Kevin Love, man. Kevin Love was due a game. And what better game to have a game in than Game 7?
No, absolutely. They all stepped up. And, you know, hey, congrats to the city of Cleveland once again, man. I mean, finally 64 years. So now the Browns will see in 2068.
Good luck.
Maybe by then.
Maybe.
RG7 will be playing the field.
Or y'all will be playing like the Seahawks, and they want to throw on the half-yard line instead of run.
Hey, that was a good call. It was second down. They still had third down to give them the ball for a run.
They had beast mode.
They had Russell Wilson, too, the savior of quarterbacks from NC State. All right, you're listening to BSS Carolinas. Follow us on Twitter. Like I said, BSS Carolina. Check our Facebook, or check our website out, breakdownsportshow.com. And you can catch us everywhere.
Side piece.